horse made a funny noise.
You're listening to Extra Life Radio. Now kneel before old man Frank. Darn it.
From the snowy peaks of the Rocky Mountains, through the harsh Colombian jungle, and all over the damn American South, this is Extra Life Radio.
Hi, this is Richard Hatch from Battlestar Galactica, and I play the role of Tom Zarek, and you are listening to Extra Life Radio.
Hey, everybody. How's it going? Welcome back. This is Extra Life Radio. I assume you're coming back. Maybe you're new. If you're new, boy, that's even cooler. Welcome to the show, everybody. This is Extra Life Radio, the official podcast of MyExtraLife.com. And this is show number 130 for the following date, March 27th, 2007. It is a Tuesday, as usual. And we're very much looking forward to bringing you a fine, feathered show. Stay tuned for a guest. It's one of your favorites. People always ask to have him back on, so we have him back on again. It's like every other show or something like that. But we're happy to do it. Before we go too much farther, I'd like to give a shout out to our sponsors. Thanks to GoDaddy.com for sponsoring the show. Use Life1 to buy your next .com domain, and you'll only pay $6.95. That's a heck of a deal. That's a year, dude. So use Life1 of your code, use GoDaddy, and get your piece of the internet. Also want to thank YouBuyNow.com and Brian Welch over there for the fine services they provide to geeks like us. Go check them out. YouBuyNow.com and use Extra Life as your code as usual. Welcome to the show, everyone. It feels good to be in front of the microphone.
Because of the lady that stayed on her couch so long that she was actually like embedded in her couch.
Obsidian is actually speaking as if there's no show going on, which is great.
Well, you know, you should have a way of warning us when we're going live.
All right,
maybe we should be listening.
Yes. All right, let's welcome the folks to the table. We have with us Obsidian from commissioncomic.com. Obsidian, good evening, sir.
Scott?
Yes.
Do you still think I'm sexy?
Yes. I've thought that since day one, and I can't...
Do you still find me attractive?
Yes.
You don't look at me anymore.
Well, it's because you're not over here very much. You need to spend some time here.
Well, anyway. Maybe if you weren't working all the time and you came home once in a while... you'd be able to look at me.
That's it. I'm leaving. Also here from missiondeep.com.
Yeah, go run over to that bitch.
The comic that's updated at least twice every millennia. Welcome back, Brian Dunaway, to the show. Brian, hi.
Hi.
How are you?
How is it?
How about a new comic? We're all waiting on pins and needles.
Oh, we're going to do two guest comics and then a comic Friday.
Okay, good. That's awesome. I'm very happy about that. And with us, as usual, as a guest, because he's a usual guest, not as usual, but every other show or so, and it seems like lately anyway, is Len Peralta from the Jawbone Radio Show and Len TV. Len, welcome to the show.
Hi, everybody. I feel like I'm Charles Nelson Reilly on Match King.
Is that who that was you were doing right there?
You know what? I come out like Rip Taylor with a bag of confetti.
Dude, all I think about when I think of Hollywood Squares is when they would have Muppets on there. That would always just stick in my mind. And also that fat gay guy that would sit in the middle. What was his name?
George Gobel?
Maybe it's a different gay guy, fat gay
George
guy.
Gobel wasn't gay. Oh. You know who was gay, though, was Waylon Flowers and Madam. Not Waylon Flowers, he wasn't gay, but Madam was gay.
Madam.
Oh, you think?
Yeah. Wait, was Madam a puppet?
She was a puppet.
Yeah, she was the puppet. She was the old lady.
Was she? Oh, yeah,
and
dude.
She was on a...
with that little sheep puppet. No?
Oh,
no.
That was a... oh, man, now you got...
what, Lamb Chop?
Yeah, dude, Lamb Chop. This is the stupidest thing. The fact that we know that crap makes us... we've lost it all. We're done. We're out. Anyway, I also want to welcome everybody who's here in the chat room. I can't tell how many of you are. It seems like a record number, though. That list is longer than usual. But anyway, welcome to all those fine people. We have many great...
hi, everybody!
And we promise Lynn will do that voice all night long.
Yeah, it's terrific. Hi.
Hey, I got some good comments on my Sean Connery last week. Apparently it's not bad. I always thought it was like the worst thing ever.
That was a really good impression.
Well, thank you.
I think we should all do celebrity impressions on
it's kind of like when, you know, this stupid uncle does his lame jokes, everybody goes like, laugh, you know.
That's laugh. Exactly right.
But it wasn't that bad, though.
It wasn't that bad. Here's what we want. Obsidian actually does a pretty good impression of Speedy Gonzalez's slow brother. I don't know if anyone knew that.
Oh, I love him.
Slowpoke Rodriguez.
Yeah, that guy.
Yeah, Slowpoke Rodriguez.
When they always carry a gun.
The joke was that's just Obsidian talking, but I take it back.
Oh, no.
It was kind of mean.
You got to do it. You sound like this.
They don't make cartoons Gonzalez like that
love
anymore.
Everybody's sister.
They don't make cartoons like that anymore. Anyway, welcome to the show, everybody. Lots to talk about. Let's just jump right in. We have a couple of things right up front. I wanted to make two announcements, okay? Happy birthday to Dan, also known as Tookit, Turdkit, Tokit.
Woohoo!
T-O-K-I-T.
Happy birthday, Dan!
Tohokit. Anyway,
he's 100 today.
His birthday is Wednesday, the 28th. That's tomorrow. So happy birthday,
nice.
Tokit. Right. I guess it is.
Turd kit.
Is toe kit like what you buy for your truck because you got to pull your tree out of the hoo-ha? Brian, you'd know that, right?
Toe kit.
Yeah, toe kit. I think it's more like as in like something to cut your toenails with.
Oh, okay. A toe kit.
That kind of toe.
I get
That's
it.
A toe kit.
I get it. That's excellent. Excellent. Anyway, so happy birthday. Secondly, this is sad news, but it's great news because of what they're doing. But we have a long-time listener by the name of Tor Houtland, whose daughter, unfortunately, back in 2005, was diagnosed with a really rare, I guess, brain tumor of some kind and actually died here recently. So it's very sad, but he wanted me to let everybody know that not only has Extra Life been a great way for them to laugh during a kind of a hard time, but that they've got a lot going on with some nonprofit stuff to help people kind of raise awareness for the condition that his daughter had. And I wanted to give out this URL. Okay, so it's hannahsheroes.com. You guys go check it out and support them if you can. Donations are certainly accepted and that kind of stuff. And it sounds like she was a real trooper during that time. And anyway, we don't normally start the show off with like news like that, but I don't know. I thought it was worth it because they were really nice.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, and we're happy to help
our
fans.
Also hear stuff
like
that.
Yeah, so very cool. Now let's jump to something totally different, obviously. Did you guys see? Now, Obsidian, I'm more interested in what you think about this. Are you ready, sir? Have you left? Where are you now? You're right there.
Yeah, no, I'm good.
There's Transformer posters. What do you think of those?
Oh, they're awesome. Actually, I was looking at them again.
Did they make you go reet, roh, 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 reet, at all in your mind?
Well, no, because nobody can do that as well as you.
That's true. Don't you forget
it. So, I just looked at them and I went like, man, I want those posters. I want them.
Yes.
You know, for my house, for decoration, I want to have a blanket with those posters. I want to rub myself with those posters.
Now, don't you...
Wait a minute, that didn't come out right.
No, it didn't.
And then sell them on eBay.
Paper cuts. Listen, I want to know this. Geez. Why does the Megatron look like his face is all mushed up? He doesn't look right. Like, that's
because
not really
he's
a face. Is it really
he's sneezing.
He's not really a face,
yawn,
though, is
he's
it?
He's going to sneeze.
I see. He doesn't even look like a robot to me. It looks like just a big chunk of metal with maybe the indication of some little beady eyes, and that's it. So I'm a little worried about
that. I suppose that basically the way he's made is not to be seen from the side. I mean, I suppose he looks very different from the front.
You like the idea of Hugo Weaving doing the voice of Megatron?
Well, I've always been a big fan of Mr. Weaving.
Yeah.
But like somebody said in the comments in your site, I seriously doubt they're just going to weave the voice as it is.
Yeah.
I mean, I suppose they're going to modify the voice. And if we're talking about the way he talks and the way he paces his speech, I can totally see him as a Megatron.
Yeah.
I mean, modify the voice, you know, add the whole robotic thing. And the way he speaks, the way he paces it is perfect.
Yeah. Are you afraid he'll say, I'm sorry, Mr. Anderson, the elves must leave middle...
No, he'll probably just, you know, stand on the other side of the street and say, Mr. Optimus.
With all the S's. That guy's great. I like all the Australian actors, I have to say, by the way, for such a small
all
little...
Them?
For such a small all little prison planet that they have over there. Or planet. Prison colony. I'm sorry, I didn't mean planet. They sure produce a lot of talent out of that little hole.
Escape from Australia.
Oi, mate. I know we have a few listeners from Australia, so that's for you guys. It didn't cost you a thing.
Also, Gibson is in the chat room.
Yes, he is. That's excellent. Now, I'm not going to tell you what happened, but I'm going to yell at the listeners a little bit. I took so much freaking heat for the Starbuck is Dead episode. Now
she's dead. Wait a minute.
Now blown up for Lennon 8 weeks later. Now, if anyone
saw
Sunday,
and then comes back.
If you all saw something that happened on Sunday, well, then you'll know I've been vindicated at least a little bit, and that's all I'm going to say because I don't want to spoil it for all you spoil freaks out there. I don't want everybody running around with their hair on fire saying I ruined the whole 3-season show for you. So
what happened?
Adama's face cleared up.
It did. You know, it's just those oxy pads he uses. It's all good.
You were going to say oxy tampons, weren't you?
I was. I almost did. Dude, that's what happens when you got a 12-year-old going on 13 living in the house. All I can think about is tampons and
okay,
bras.
Okay, we didn't need to know that, and I'm pretty sure your daughter did not want you to say that.
No, she didn't. But she doesn't care. She's in her own world, dude. She's got. All I'm saying is I'm new to this like daughter
you know,
getting older teenager
stuff. They are
going to
give her hell in school for that.
No, they won't.
They're
going to
give her hell in school. People like in the classroom when she's walking down the hall, they're going to be yelling like, "Hell, those tampons!"
See, the problem is, I don't know, I'm not ready for teenage stuff yet. I'll admit it freely and openly. I'm kind of nervous about it all. She's a great kid and she's awesome and all that, but I'm just nervous. That's all. Just nervous.
You know, I once read that on this very educational animated series I used to watch that was called Dr. Katz. Did you guys ever?
Oh yeah,
I used to love it. And the guy once said that he had a daughter that was one of his patients once said that he had a daughter that was going to be a teenager. And somebody asked him if he wasn't afraid about, you know, the whole thing of, you know, with the girl being a teenager and the boy suddenly getting interested in the girls and everything. And he said, no, I'm not afraid of it because I prepared for that since she was little. Every single day I would tell her how fat she was. Yeah. So she grew up very self-conscious and, you know, I really fatted her up. So right now she's ugly and she's insecure, so no boy is going to be interested in her, so I'm not going to worry about it.
Yeah, very nice.
So you're probably not too late, Scott.
Yeah,
I mean,
that's very nice.
Beat her up every day.
That's
and
a real.
Feed her a lot.
That's a real lifter upper. And now speaking of kids, we have to mention Len here, our good guest and longtime fan of the show, big longtime fan of his show. You're bringing a new player onto the court, I understand.
Yes.
Number six. Number six.
Number six. Number six.
Number six. You went from man to man to zone a long time ago, but this is
how much do you need? How many players do you need for a baseball team?
12.
You only need 5 for basketball. So now they have a bench warmer in basketball. It's all good.
But, so are you gonna have to change your driving your car situation? I know once you get a certain point.
You need a church bus, dude.
Yeah, so if there's anybody out there that can hook me up with
a short bus.
Eight-seater vehicle.
Get a short
I'm
bus.
I'm asking you for some help here.
Yeah, short bus is good. No, I'm
actually
yes.
Oh, I was gonna say, Nora's sitting over there. Is there anything you want to say, Nora?
Yeah, Nora, do you want to say anything to us? That'd be great. Do you have anything to say?
No, Nora just is saying no. She's
She's saying no, and you're sleeping on the couch tonight.
She's saying no.
Listen, she's not only avoiding us, she's avoiding us for two. I just want to mention that.
There's two people avoiding you.
Yeah, well, tell her, and Len, congratulations. I know we don't want to make this babytalkusa.com, but we are extremely happy that you have another one coming, and I know it's going to be crazy for you, but congratulations to you and Nora.
Well, thank you very much, Scott.
Yeah, it's
and,
all good.
And thank you very much for the headache remedy as well.
Yes, the what was it again? I can't remember. You push
peppermint oil.
Oh, peppermint oil.
I gave you peppermints up your nose.
Yeah. They're Tic Tacs, dude.
Yeah, it doesn't take away the headache, but it sure as hell makes you forget.
It does something. anyway, so yeah, that's awesome. So congratulations, and where were we here? Oh, I had one last mention to make, and that was before we get to our big topic, and that was now eluding me. And here it isn't, and there it is. Oh, here it is. The Rambo, what is it, 4?
Isn't it 5?
5,
six?
Yeah.
Wait.
I don't remember.
4?
No, wait a minute. Rocky was 5. No.
Does it matter?
Rambo is 17.
Just say the new Rambo. I don't know what you're talking about.
Was there a Rambo 3?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. I'm sure there was a Rambo 3.
All right.
wasn't that the one where he came to Colombia?
I don't know. Was it? I thought they were all set there.
Obsidian!
This is my war.
Dude, that was awesome. You did the Obsidian yell as freaking, or the Adrian yell for Obsidian. That was great. That was genius. Brian pulls it out once again. I don't know what that means.
My butt.
Okay, Brian pulls it out.
Anyway, we don't care.
And he puts it
into
the pot.
We got Brian pulling it out. This show's
there's something
not at
weird
all.
Going on here.
We
man.
Definitely don't care much about the Rambo thing other than just to say there's first pictures up, and he looks pretty buff for a guy in his 60s.
He looks, yeah.
It's weird.
Wild.
Yeah, really weird. Okay, I got two things to play.
Get over it already. When was Vietnam?
No, wait a minute. I am definitely. I mean, I'm definitely gonna watch it and enjoy it because, I mean, wow. I mean, the guy's doing Rambo again. It's kind of like the Indiana Jones thing. I'm just gonna watch it to see how that guy performs.
Oh, of course.
I think he should. I think he should remake all his old franchises. You know,
I heard
Rocky,
he's gonna
Rambo.
Do. You gonna watch how he performs there too?
With what?
Sorry.
Which one?
What?
We didn't hear it. Which one? Which one?
I know. Good. Nothing.
You mean like throw Mama from the train, or what was it called?
No. What's that one, Rhinestone with Dolly Parton?
Oh, dude, Rhinestone 2. That's what we need. Or the one Over the Top with the Sammy Hagar song.
Over the Top.
Yeah. Stop, My Mom is Dead.
Yeah,
is that
yeah.
The new one?
Stop or I'll yeah. Stop or I'll Shoot My Mom.
Yeah.
Stop or I'll Shoot My Mom. Yeah, that was it with the Golden Girl chick in it. Not really a chick.
Yeah, yeah.
I think
Stop, My Mom is Dead.
Yeah,
is
that it?
Stop, My Mom is Dead. Stop, I'm throwing my mother from the train.
All right, last week, I took a little heat last week as I posted a sound clip of Bill Gates on NPR, not able to make very much fun of himself. I want to do two things. I want to play that clip again, and then I want to play the one
we
that
have
they...
have to listen to it?
Yes, I want to play that again, and then I want to play the clip that they did afterwards. He went ahead and redid it to kind of improve his image on the radio, so apparently he agreed with me. So here's the first clip, and then on the other side, we'll play the revision. Here it is.
I want to ask you one more thing. Those Mac ads, how do you feel about the John Hodgman character?
Yeah, I can't comment on someone else's ad.
Okay, but he's you.
Yeah, I'm not going to comment on someone else's ad.
Okay. Well, Bill Gates, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you.
Bill Gates is co-founder and chairman of Microsoft.
All right. Now, the deal was when I played this on the site, I was just trying to point out that the guy has no sense of humor, that he can't even laugh at himself. And I would have said something like, oh, they got the hair right. Ha, ha, ha. You know, whatever. I just would have had a little fun with it instead of just, I'm not able to comment on that ad. Why not? I just can't do it. I freaking can't talk about it.
I've never seen it.
I've never seen the damn thing. Who's Steve Jobs? What's a Mac? I don't even know. Oh, that's that shit I stole 400 years ago. Just kidding. I just swore. I'm going to have to cut that out. Damn it. I mean, shoot. All right, so anyway, there was the first bit. Now, apparently, this is the one that they decided to go with later, with just a slightly better side of Bill Gates' sense of humor. Here it is.
I want to ask you one more thing. Those Mac ads. How do you feel about the John Hodgman character?
I am Taroxers. You are the Suxers.
Okay, but he's you.
I could buy and sell you four times over, you piece of shit.
Okay. Well, Bill Gates, thank you so much for joining us.
Yeah, you should pay me to be on here, you butthole.
Bill Gates is co-founder and chairman of Microsoft.
All right. So that was that was good times. That was
sounds
real.
Like the guy from The Simpsons.
Yeah, it did a little bit. It sounded like the exactly. Sorry, Mr. Simpson, I can't do that. I didn't know what else was. But that
if
wasn't
I had a
me.
Girlfriend, she'd kill me.
That was, of course, Bill Gates for real. Absolutely. Now, at the beginning of the show, sorry, I'm ripping through this stuff because I want to give lots of time to the topic that Obsidian thinks we're going to skip right over. At the top of the show, you heard a new version of our theme song, the Donkey Kong version by Rob Gohobers. And he's kind of a cool guy, but for the first time ever, he's actually called into the show and has a confession to make about that theme, and I wanted to play it here. Check it out.
Scott, Brian, Obsidian, this is Dr. Robert from the Schnauzer Radio Orchestra, and I'm calling in to let you know that I was working on this caffeine version of the Ilar tune, and I ran into this Mario sample. And if I slow this down, it sounds like... Sounds familiar? So, now I'm on my knees here and telling all the ELR listeners that I fooled them because I stole the entire tune. I know, but I didn't know. So, actually, this proves to me that there is a God and his name is Miyamoto. That's all for now. And as we say in the south of the Netherlands, how do?
How do is what they say in the Netherlands. That's what's wrong with those people.
You know, I love
how
accent,
do.
Though.
How do?
Yeah, he has a cool accent. And you know what? He sounded like a really cool cat, kind of a musician kind of guy. Yeah, as I was working on this tune,
and we did the thing and the stuff, and I just think he sounds really cool.
So what he's saying is he ripped off Mario.
Yeah, he ripped off Mario. Yeah, he did.
He's brilliant.
Brilliant.
Wonderful.
Brilliant. I love those commercials.
Brilliant.
Brilliant. But he is great, and we just think he's great, so thanks. And keep sending us cool stuff. I can't wait for the heavy metal version of the theme. I can't wait for the techno version. Sorry, I'm giving him ideas.
The
here.
Sanjaya version?
The Sanjaya version. What is that exactly?
The Bollywood. Ooh, a Bollywood version would be awesome.
I take antibiotics for my Sanjaya. I don't know what's going on there.
I'm sorry. I'm an American Idol guy, and I watched it tonight, and the guy... It's foolish. Anyway,
yeah.
Go ahead.
Sanjaya.
I don't even want to talk about it.
Diarrhea, whatever. What was that?
What was that?
Oh, that was Chewbacca. I got it.
All right. Let's move on. Okay, last week, this is really quick. Last week, I read the lyrics from the Mario tune. Apparently they exist. In the meantime, somebody found up and dug up for me somebody singing the tune. A Japanese chick on stage, if you can believe it. So
awesome.
I want to play just a little bit of
Japanese
this.
People on stage, who would have thought?
Yeah, who would have thunk it? Here they are with lyrics and all.
You know, in my imagination, that Japanese chick is spanking hot.
She'd have to be.
Okay, wait, I got a question, though, about these Japanese singers. Does every single Japanese woman sound exactly the same when they sing? They all do. They're all...
To me, they do.
Yeah. Well, think of it this way, Scott.
What?
Think of it this way. They probably think the same about us.
You think so?
Yeah. Absolutely.
I'm not saying they all look the same.
You know, I didn't even think about this. That song, there's a Captain Lou Albano version of that song floating around there somewhere.
Oh, my God.
Because he sang
it
on the
rubber
show.
Bands?
Yeah. Do you remember when... Well, obviously, Captain Lou Albano was Super Mario, but
he sang
that song on the show. That's the theme song.
I don't remember him singing it. Okay, everyone, that's your job. Find me that clip, because we'll play that next week.
Absolutely.
Then people will be really sick of it. But yeah, they all sound the same, and they remind me of those Japanese schoolgirl outfit chicks in... Blade, the first Blade movie that were in
that
bar.
You say that as if it were a bad thing.
Well, no. I know you like that. You're into that stuff. But I remember seeing that movie and they were just going, gah, 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 gah. To me, that's how all of them sound. No offense to any singing Japanese women that listen to the show. All right.
It's like I say.
How could they be offended by that?
They probably think the same about us. You know, it happens a lot. Once I was watching a movie, I don't remember who I was watching it with, and it was one of these Chinese martial arts movies, not the mainstream kind. I mean, not like Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon or anything, but one of these like really obscure Chinese martial arts movies. And all of a sudden, you know, I'm pointing out one character and going like, oh, look, that one is going to do this. And the person with me goes like, which one? Like, what do you mean, that one?
Yeah.
I can't tell them apart. They all look the same to me. Yeah. Like, what do you mean they all look the same? And so apparently a lot of people here from this side of the world have problems telling Asians apart from one another.
Wow.
And the only thing I can think about is they probably have the same problem with us. I mean, we probably all look the same to them. We probably all speak the same to them.
Yeah.
It's pretty interesting that... To think about it that way.
Yeah. I'm guessing you're right. We think we know everything, but the truth is they know better, and that is that we all sound
No,
the same.
No. I do know everything.
They think we all sound like Michael Bolton when we sing or something. Is that it? I mean...
Oh, man. You just have to ruin this whole side of the world.
Ah, Michael Bolton. Where are you now, buddy? What is he doing now? Nothing?
What is he doing? What is he doing now?
He's waiting for the sweet release of death.
Sweet release, and he's going, please bring the sweet release. Sorry, that was terrible. Shoot me, dude. That was terrible. Okay, Obsidian has something to review, and we have to play this.
Gather round, everyone, and listen to Obsidian review something old.
I guess you better do Ghost Rider.
Right, so Obsidian just saw a movie that came out like 4 months ago. So it's not real
old.
It was four months ago? Well, it was like,
it's due out on DVD this next month.
Yeah, it's pretty quick. So, Obsidian, just your quick take on what you thought of Ghost Rider. I know we talked about it before, but I wanted to get your butt old review of what you thought that movie
was. Give this review if Brian keeps his pie hole shut.
Okay, Brian will keep his. There was a bit of an argument before the show.
All right, I wish
I had recorded it, but go ahead. Brian will keep his tongue. We'll hold his tongue.
Okay, well,
Who's playing with bubble wrap? What the hell is that?
That's Nora.
Sounds like pom poms.
Nora's ruffling through something in the back.
All right, no problem. She can do that. She's the pregnant one. It's fine.
Yes.
Obsidian.
Okay. So, Ghost Rider. Yeah. Okay. Now, there are several things about Ghost Rider. One, the guy takes his motorcycle, which is suddenly blowing up entire city blocks. He runs through the city block, like a ton of cars are incinerated. You know, everything blows up and everything. The police find his license plate and decide that that's the evidence that points in his direction. I mean, like, every single car on that block blew up. I mean, were there not a bunch of license plates there or anything?
I don't remember that happening in the comic, but anyway, keep going. It sounds weird to me. So I've not seen this movie yet, so what you guys say is...
Then the guy they put him in jail, right? And he's in his cell with about 20 people that are in jail also. And he kills every single one of them. Except this kid, which he decides is innocent. And which is pretty cliche. I mean, yeah, sure, the kid's innocent. Okay, anyway, he's in the jail. He killed like 20 people. Nobody gives a crap. I mean, nobody shows up. I mean, there are no surveillance cameras, nothing. I mean, he just kills 20 people in a jail cell, and they chase him when he's already on the road.
Okay.
Okay. Second. Third, whatever.
Third.
Nicolas Cage, Ghost Rider, bad decision. Now, I know Nicolas Cage is supposed to be like a huge fan of Ghost Rider. Most people say that he would have done the movie for free. Well, he would have done Superman for free also. And
for jelly beans, one or two.
yeah, he would have done Superman for free also, but they didn't give that one to him either.
Yeah.
So they shouldn't have given him Ghost Rider. They probably got a different guy to act as Ghost Rider because he was considerably taller than Nicolas Cage. I mean, he suddenly get up and he was taller.
Yeah.
And all that kind of stuff.
How's Sam Elliott?
Is Sam, for the skull.
Is Sam Elliott any good in that movie? I like him, that old dude.
Who would have? Who was he?
He's a
cowboy guy.
He was the gravekeeper. He was the old.
That was. I mean, he's good. I mean, he's good because he's fun to watch, and he's fun. It's fun to watch him speak.
Yeah.
It's fun to look how his skin seems to be made out of leather. That's all real.
Because it is.
But it was pretty lame when he's like sitting there. He's sitting there on his horse, and he goes like, oh, why do I know all this? And boom, he turns into Ghost Rider 2. Like, okay, so we got two Ghost Riders. Then this is the
really cool
part. Of course,
I saw
that
coming. That was way coming.
Yeah, I mean, you could have predicted that from before, but they ride off into the sunset. He's on his bike. He's on his flaming horse. And when they finally get to where the bad guy is, he turns back to the cowboy and says, okay, that was my last... You know, that was my last turning into Ghost Rider thing. So I'm not going to do it anymore. You know, I'm leaving.
I wasted it.
I was just
traveling.
Here for the ride.
Yeah, exactly.
I wasted it on the ride, and that's it. You know, good luck. Good luck, though.
Now, all we're gonna say though on the bottom of this is that Brian liked the movie and Obsidian hated it, and you just about witnessed Armageddon before the show. I thought things were going to melt down and explode. Holy shit.
Yeah.
They got this lively conversation.
Yeah. They got like this villain that's supposed to be made of sort of like dust and sand and windy stuff. So how do you beat that? Oh yeah, you make like a huge fan with your chain whip. That's a great solution. Yeah, that's really cool.
Okay, wait. So Obsidian, if you had to rate this higher or lower than Aragon, which would rate higher for you?
Ooh. That's tough.
I have to compare it to Aragon?
Yeah, oh yeah.
Wow, what can I say? Okay, here's the thing. I'm definitely gonna give Ghost Rider a worse review than Aragon.
Wow.
Because Aragon was a bit longer ago, so I've managed to sort of recover from it a bit. So it's definitely going to get a worse review because it stings more.
Right.
Stings more right now. and of course, what's the actress's name?
Jimmy. Flemmy.
No.
Isn't that Eva Mendes?
Eva Mendes.
She's kind of hot. I think she's cute.
Yeah, so she's kind of hot, and we get her in the movie. We don't get no boobs or anything.
I don't know.
No, and I mean, and I mean, if you want to see Eva Mendes' boobs, I mean, all you got to do is go watch another movie where she's in, because she used to show a lot of boobs. She sort of got like the whole. I mean, you can measure a Hollywood actress by if they have to show their boobs in a movie or not. There comes like a certain time in their career where they're no longer required to show boobs in order to have a role in a film.
You actually said, she, you actually said that she showed a lot of her boobs, and I'm wondering what four or five of them, or
she showed
what do you
six
think?
Of them. Six seven. Of them.
Yeah. She showed 6 out of 15.
I got this and, pair.
Well, yeah. They just run.
So
like,
I mean, you would see a whole lot of Eva Mendes' boobs before in movies, but ever since Hitch, I mean, ever since we saw her in Hitch, we didn't get to see Eva Mendes' boobs anymore. She probably sort of hit that state, you know, that place in Hollywood where boobs are no longer required.
Yeah, they're fake.
So good for you, Eva Mendes. They're bad for us. Good for you.
They're bad for us. Good for you.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's because it's the whole Hollywood cycle. I mean, a Hollywood actress hits the point where she doesn't have to show her boobs again. Then she gets to a point in her career where she shows her boobs again, but now it's artistic.
Yeah, but there's only one single Colombian in the room here that can really enjoy the breasts, the 5 or 10 breasts of Eva Mendes, while we married folk cannot. All right.
Well, you do get to see. Oh, you do get to see though. Nicolas Cage's boobs.
Oh, good.
There's this one scene where he's in the mirror, and I have to ask if anybody in the chat room knows or if Brian knows. When he looks at himself in the mirror, that's not his body, is it?
That's him. He's got it.
I'd rather see Nicolas Cage's boobs than Kevin's bacon.
No, it's because the guy looks in the mirror. It's because the guy looks in the mirror, and he is incredibly buff.
On.
I mean, he is way Nicolas muscular Cage's and. Yeah. And I'm like, that doesn't look real.
I mean, did I hear Len right? Did Len say Kevin's bacon? I just want to make sure I got that right. All right, Kevin's bacon. That's awesome.
For a while, that guy was like naked in every single film he did for like a string of like 5 years. He had to show off his bacon.
What was that about? What was going on there? What
Remember Hollow Man?
Bacon?
Hollow Man was, he wasn't hollow. He was
he was like naked the whole film.
Yeah, he was old. No, you're not. You're just naked. Put some clothes on, dude.
It all started with Footloose, dude, when he was naked in... Oh, wait, that's the wrong movie.
He was naked. You saw a
different
one. He
wasn't naked in Footloose. Never mind.
Yeah, he saw Footloose the Unrated.
JFK,
Footloose
I think
it was. With a Z, and it was a giant box. And behind a little panel, you have to go back there and get it.
Oh, that's lovely. All right, well, thanks, for reviewing But Old Stuff. And you and Brian can continue to have a disagreement based on...
No, I just decided I will never discuss... When we go to DragonCon...
Oh, come on.
When we finally make it to DragonCon, Brian is not allowed to speak to me. He has to speak to Scott, and Scott can tell me whatever Brian needs.
Yeah.
Brian says he's hungry. You tell Brian we are not having any food. Obsidian says we're not having any food. You tell him I'll just hightail it back to my damn
Scott. Scott, that's enough.
All right, I quit doing it.
That's enough, Scott.
All right, so let's move on. We got to do our big fat topic of the week. This deals with comic books and movies and such, dealing with comic books. I thought what would be fun here would be to play something we got from Steven from majorspoilers.com, a great friend of the Extra Life Radio Show and extralife.com, myextralife.com. Not extralife.com, which is toner cartridges, so forget I said that. But myextralife.com. At least it used to be. I don't know if they still own the domain, and I tried to buy it from them, and they were not taking any, and that was back in 2001. But anyway, that's way off track. But we got something from him. Talks about kind of what he thinks is cool about comics these days. And when we play that, or we're going to play that, and then we're going to go ahead and take our break. When we come back, we have lots more to talk about, including this very topic, and a crappy movie of the week, and much more. So stay tuned, won't you?
Hello, ELR listeners. I'm Steven Schleicher from MajorSpoilers.com, a website dedicated to bringing the latest reviews, news, and, of course, spoilers about comics. Scott mentioned the show tonight was all about comics, so here are some of the big stories. First, if you haven't heard, Captain America is dead. Sorry about not giving a spoiler warning, but it did happen over a week ago. Captain America number 25 featured the assassination of Steve Rogers in the concluding chapter of Marvel's year-long Civil War event. Now, before everyone gets up in arms over the slaying, just remember what happened to Superman when he died in the 1990s. In just under 2 years, he was back in the blue and red fighting for truth, justice, and the American way. I have a feeling we'll be seeing Captain America again real soon. If anyone missed out on the first printing of Captain America number 25, the second printing, featuring a variant cover, goes on sale this week. Over at DC Comics, the weekly 52 series continues to be a great read. The premise is simple. Following the events of Infinite Crisis, not to be confused with Crisis on Infinite Earths, although the two are kind of tied together. Anyway, in the result of that, the DCU finds itself without Superman, Batman, or Wonder Woman. It's not a year without heroes, though, and the series unravels the mysteries as we follow some of the lesser-known heroes, like Black Adam, Booster Gold, the Elongated Man, and the Question, throughout the year. I'm really amazed DC's been able to keep up with this weekly series that's well-written and drawn week after week. This is a huge undertaking by the company, and its success is leading readers to a brand new weekly series event called Countdown, kicking off the week of May 9th. If you want to get caught up, the first trade paperback collecting the first 13 issues of 52 will also be available in May. Speaking of trade paperbacks, this does bring up one of the issues many readers are facing. With the rising cost of new issues, currently most sell for $2.99, do readers buy the new issue or wait for the trade? In the case of DC's New Frontier, I say pick up this trade right now. Now, New Frontier was done as a monthly limited series a couple of years ago by Darwin Cook, and it's a great retelling of the Silver Age of DC Comics. Those issues have been collected in the New Frontier Absolute Hardcover Edition that not only includes the series in a much larger size, which is perfect for seeing all the cool detail, but it also features a page-by-page annotation of all of the references made throughout the series. You can get it right now for less than $50 through Amazon, and I'm sure you're going to love it. I recommended it to Scott a couple of weeks ago, and now he's a big fan. And good news, Scott, New Frontier is being made into an animated movie directed by Bruce Timm and starring the voices of Neil Patrick Harris as The Flash, David Boreanaz as Hal Jordan, Brooke Shields as Carol Ferris, Lucy Lawless as Wonder Woman, and Kyle MacLachlan as Clark Kent. The animated direct-to-DVD movie is in production now. Even though comic readership has been dwindling these last couple of years, movies chronicling the adventures of the superheroes continues to be on the rise. Already this year, we've been treated to 300, Ghost Rider, and the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles, and soon we'll see Iron Man, Transformers, The Dark Knight, Fantastic Four, and a lot more are going to make their debut. Now, last I looked, I counted nearly 20 comic book-related movies currently in production. No doubt, one of the biggest movies to hit this year will be Spider-Man 3. When I found out Scott was wanting to do an ELR Spider-Man 3 event, I was more than happy to help make this event possible by being one of the sponsors of the event. If you haven't paid a visit to the My Extra Life website and signed up, you better do so now. Scott and I have been in a lot of close contact, and not only will this be a free event, but there's also going to be prizes, including free Spider-Man comic books. Speaking of free comic books, not only is May 5th the ELR Spider-Man 3 event, but it's also Cinco de Mayo. No, wait a minute. I mean, May 5th is Free Comic Book Day. Comic book publishers are providing your local comic shops with free comics to give away. Check your local store for more details, but at last count, there were over 40 titles that you might be eligible to pick up. Finally, a question for the ELR crew. If Steve Rogers were still alive, who would win in a fight? Batman or Captain America? I'm going to leave it to you guys to fight that one out. And listeners, if you want to weigh in, head over to majorspoilers.com and vote there. And be sure to visit the site regularly for more news, reviews, and of course, spoilers. This has been Steven Schleicher for Extra Life Radio. I'll see you next time.
What if you found a portal to a parallel universe? What if you could slide into 1,000 different worlds? Where it's the same year, and you're the same person, but everything else is different. And what if you can't find your way home?
Hello once again, Extra Life Radio listeners. This is Rico from the Treks in Sci-Fi podcast with another review for you. This week we're going to talk about Sliders, a TV show that ran from 1995 to 2000, ran for 5 seasons. This was one of my favorite television shows on at the time. It was a real original concept and idea for a show. Basically, each week, a group of adventurers would travel to a sort of parallel Earth where things were just slightly different. Occasionally, they would even run into themselves on this parallel Earth world. It starred Jerry O'Connell as Quinn Mallory, who was this sort of science brainy kid who discovered the way to travel between parallel Earths. Professor Arturo, who was played by John Rhys-Davies, also seen in Raiders of the Lost Ark. Sabrina Lloyd was Wade Wells. Cleveland Derricks was Rembrandt the Crying Man. This had a lot of great stories throughout its run. The first few seasons were the best. The later seasons, when it ended up on the Sci-Fi Channel, were not nearly as good, but I urge you to seek it out on DVD. The first 3 seasons are available now. This is Rico signing off for this week. Slider.
back. Welcome back to the show. Thanks, Rico. Thanks again, Steven Schleicher from MajorSpoilers.com. If you guys aren't checking out MajorSpoilers.com, it is the capital king of all cool blogs when it comes to comic books. So go check them out. And they're co-sponsoring the big event, as he mentioned, which we're really looking forward to, which is totally full. And quit sending me emails because we have no seats left.
Equal. That's awesome.
Okay. We're back. And I should say that real quick. We are out of seats. The seats went away in like 2 days. So I've got people mad at me because they can't get in the movie. And all I can say to that is it's free. Gosh dang it. Quit complaining at me for doing a free movie for you. I wish we had more room. I'd do all I could to get in more room, but I can't. I'm trying. I'm really trying.
To apologize for getting
Why don't you just build a bigger theater, Scott?
Yeah, that's the problem.
You should buy all of Utah's theaters, and you should have an event all over Utah.
That's right. You should pay.
It should be like
dime.
The Olympics, Scott. Don't you understand?
Scott, I thought you cared, Scott.
You should pay. Yeah. You should pay. Anyway.
One theater, Scott.
I love everyone for who's going. And those who registered quickly, hey, way to be the early bird. That's all I can say.
Hey, wait. This is an awesome opportunity. ELR listeners, Scott just said he loves everybody that's going. So what I say is you should go and behave like a total ass. Scott's going to love you anyway. He's going to love you anyway. So
are your kids going, Scott? Because you got to protect them from the people.
My kids may not be going because we're still short on seats. I mean, literally everybody. And there's the funny thing. Well, I was concerned that it would be a lot of people's relatives and some half-dead uncles and all that kind of stuff that have never even heard of Extra Life. Every seat, best I can tell, is either a listener or a reader, and maybe are bringing like a wife or a girlfriend. But beyond that, they're all like official Extra Life people, which I did not expect.
How many people are coming from out of town?
We have one trying to come from Tennessee, although I can't remember if he registered or not. If he did, he may be. We may be having somebody come from Texas. These people are flying in just for this event. I'm a little freaked out.
Anyway. Wow.
That was a nice sound. What was that exactly? Was that a fart? Was that a
Chewbacca? I told you guys, Chewbacca here. Down boy.
All right. Let's do our big topic. Ah, I'm so looking forward to this. So, comic books. I've been reading DC's New Frontier collection, which is this huge hardbound thing, and I can't find it. I can't remember the name of the artist and writer, but this stuff is really, really good. And Len, you'd love this. It reminds me of Ape Lad's artwork. It's very kind of retro, 50s style artwork, but the stories they're telling are really like kind of gritty, modern. I don't know. I'm not so much modern, but they tell the story in the 50s still, but it's like kind of this time when things were changing. You know, the 50s were ending. You got like sort of the whole hippie movement coming. You got a lot of dissension against government. You know, with Superman, whose side is he really on? All that kind of stuff. And it's really, really, really quite good. They have a lot of stories about the Flash, which normally he doesn't really, I'm not a big Flash guy. But his stories are told in a way that really makes me kind of like him in weird ways. But anyway, it's really good stuff.
Okay.
Really good stuff.
Okay.
A lot of strange admissions tonight on the show.
And you guys in the chat room, you're going to be in a movie theater with
Now this, I have to thank Steven. I have to thank Steven again for Major Spoilers because he recommended this book and I picked it up on Amazon for like 48% off. So
I'm sorry.
A great deal.
That was the popcorn.
No. I also picked up an old copy of, not old, but a new copy of, a reprint of, my brain hurts. What's it called? Freaking Kingdom Come. Kingdom Come. Alex Ross book, Kingdom Come. Good stuff. Anyway, so my question is, Len here is quite the aficionado of fine comic book art. Len, do you have any favorites? Have you been keeping up on any stories? It sounds like an old lady in her
TV. You know, it's funny because when I saw that the topic was going to be comic books, I have an admission to make is that I don't really follow comic books, to be honest with you.
Bastard!
I go into comic book stores probably like once or twice a year just to look for some really good inspiration for art.
Yeah.
And
then you don't buy anything. Get out of here!
Exactly.
Get out!
What are you doing here, you idiot? Get out of
Why
my store!
Get out of my
you
store!
You buy something!
You buy comic book or you leave!
Yeah. It's not library, you idiot!
Yeah,
read three pages, you bought it!
You touch it with dirty hands! You have chicken finger all over hand! Get out of here!
Chicken finger! You buy Betty Boop! You buy it right now! Betty Boop's not a comic, is it? But anyway...
I'll bet there's a Betty Boop comic, man.
Yeah, I'm sure. Yeah.
So you don't follow any of the stories and stuff, but I mean, you're kind of you love the artwork.
Why do we have him as a guest?
Well,
Why is he here?
Well, it's because Len. Because
Scott loves me. Why don't we get somebody useful?
No, Len is, because Len is awesome. Because I do love Len, and I think he should be here all the time. But here's the point. The comic books are a thing for me where I go big chunks of time without them. So, for example, I was really into them as a kid, and then kind of got away for a while. And then the late 80s got really into it again, the McFarlane Marvel days with the Amazing Spider-Man series and all that stuff. Got really into that stuff, and then kind of got away from it again. Then I bought a bunch of old Backspawn issues and got really into that again, and then back and forth and back and forth. Well, I'm kind of having a revival at the moment. So I'm picking up all these Dark Tower
Captain
books.
Captain America's dead, isn't it?
Yeah, that happened.
Why he went into there because
Scott Johnson killed Captain America.
That was the impetus for everything. Actually, I'm being recommended by a lot of people to read that whole everything that led up to that.
Well, it's because everybody was like, Captain America's dead, and we're sad, and you were like the guy that went, "Yoo-hoo, Captain America's dead! I've been waiting for this moment my whole life."
No, I didn't. I just said he was kind of stupid. I didn't like. I know I'm going to catch more flack for this. I didn't like that he was.
You're
sort
not
of,
supposed to call dead people stupid. Everybody that's dead was nice.
Well, you know why they killed him, and I don't know if this has been on the internets or anything, but it's about because of the from globalization. You can't have a Captain America.
Yeah, exactly. That's a. I mean, so that may be
well,
true.
They just like, said, like a Captain Northern Hemisphere.
Captain Canada,
Captain
dude.
Northern.
Captain North America.
Captain Third World.
Captain Underdeveloped.
Of course,
country.
It would be in Spanish. Capitán Tercer Mundo.
Excuse me, I'll be right back.
What would he wear, dude? Like an old
he'd
burlap
wear nothing.
Sack.
He'd wear. he'd wear nothing. Basically, he'd wear a bow tie.
Speedo.
Who would his sidekick be? Like a little undernourished slave girl that makes shirts all day? I mean, what would that
He's
be?
He's wearing a burlap sack.
Oh, dude.
And his name would be Antonio.
That's terrible. Antonio.
Greasy mustache.
Wow, we've done a lot of offending tonight. I'm
tired. Yeah, we sure outdone ourselves today.
Good thing there's no computers in the third world. Just kidding. So,
yeah,
so
I
Brian,
got the only one, huh?
So, Brian, you a big fan? You got some comic books you dig on?
Well, I'm just like you. I go through stages. The last time I really read a lot of comics was back in around 2001. With Michael Turner, and he was doing the whole Fathom thing.
Fathom and Witchblade and all that.
All that artwork. Yeah. And that was kind of a revival for me, and but I kind of stopped after then.
Yeah.
Every once in a while I pick up a Justice League of America or something like that. But you know, it's about time for me to get back into it, too.
Yeah. Do you follow the stories, Brian? Or?
Yeah.
I love it. I love the comic stuff.
See, I just like the art. I always just like the art. Like
you should get into it, dude.
Will,
you should read some
like
with
Bill
good stories.
Sienkiewicz and
you should. Here's what you should do. You should go pick up something like Kingdom Come or The Watchmen or some classic, The Dark Knight Returns, something cool.
Marvel has some really great artists and layout artists, but some their stories more recently have been a little lackluster to me. If you go back and read some stuff like Justice League of America and watching, you know, Batman and Superman and all those guys. Fuss and argue. It's kind of cool.
Yeah, it's good stuff.
I really did like, you know, last summer I picked up some of the Marvel Zombie stuff, and I thought that was good.
Yeah, that was a weird series, if you ask me. I didn't read it.
What was the dialogue like in that?
But I mean,
yeah, they have to get the writer drunk each and every time.
But you know, it's interesting.
It's time to write the comics. You know, if you're Johnny Walker.
Every year we have like six or seven of these movies. We get all these comic book movies all the time. So there's got to be something to these stories. You know, it's more than just pretty artwork. Brian, sorry, I interrupted you there. What were you saying?
That's okay.
Hello? You forgot?
It probably wasn't worth it. It's not
excellent.
Important.
It wasn't. Yeah.
All right. So I got an email.
Well, I mean, I remember when I was a kid, it used to seem like I could read a comic book and it seemed like it took forever. But now, you know, you buy a comic book and I feel like I read about 15 minutes and I'm like, $4, huh?
Yeah.
Well,
we got an email from a guy, I can't remember his name and I didn't write it down, but he said something about how he used to really be into comics and it was really cool. And he went to college, had no money, couldn't really get into it. Came back, and what he's unhappy about is all this crossover stuff. He doesn't like all the internal crossovers, like the whole this Civil War thing or whatever it is that Captain America died at the end of, whatever they called it. That was a big, huge crossover with everybody meddling around in each other's stuff. And, you know, it's kind of like, you know, you got Spider-Man goofing around with Daredevil or something. Anyway, you know what I mean.
Is that like gay porn?
Spider-Man hanging out, Wonder Woman, dog sleeping with cats.
for every crossover, there are some really, really good crossovers.
Sure. Like
my favorite crossover was...
Don't get caught in the crossfire!
Dude, what the crap?
My favorite crossover was Judge Dredd and Batman.
Yeah, that was really cool. That was really cool, and so was
because that was drawn by one of my favorite artists, which was Simon Bisley.
Yeah,
which is...
always cracks me up about stuff like that. Though, is you have a very specific look for a character, and then if it ever goes to the theater, all of a sudden that character changes and looks like the actor. Like, are you talking about like the more recent Judge Dredd looks like Stallone or what?
No, well, this one actually looked more like the ones
from the comics.
You know, from yesterday. How you remember them.
The British comics, yeah. You know what? Yeah. The one of the coolest, actually all the Batman crossovers are good for me. I just like those. But when Batman and Spawn crossed over, and I know a lot of people are kind of down on Spawn these days, but it was back in the day when I think McFarlane was still doing it, and they did it like a one-issue graphic novel. And what was cool about it is at the very end of this thing, they didn't really get along real well. And at the end of this thing, Batman threw one of his batarangs at Spawn, and it went right down the center of his face, just like chunked right into his face, right? Well, for the next six or seven issues of Spawn, he had that scar all shoelaced up from his little run-in with Batman. Oh. I kind of like that sort of stuff, you know, where the crossovers have a little bit of an impact, and whether it's book to book or even in the same universe, you can kind of carry things on a little bit. So I kind of understand his point that it gets a little crazy, especially if you haven't kept up. But I don't know. I'm not so down on that. I think it's okay.
I also, one thing I don't like about where Marvel is headed.
Where's Marvel headed?
You know, probably in the last 15 or 20 years, they've really, really went into this multiple universe kind of thing. And it kind of annoys me because even when they were talking about Captain America being dead, he's just basically dead in this time period in this universe.
It's too easy, isn't it? It's too easy to explain it away.
Yeah. In another universe, you know, he's still alive and kicking. Well, that's just lame.
Yeah, I don't like that either. I don't like that either.
If you kill him, you kill him, you kill him. That's it.
Yeah, I wonder if some people really like that. You'll have to tell us in emails and let us know what you think. Actually, Quick Hacks wrote in and said, how about, or says, what is he? Oh, he's kind of ripping on the idea that Marvel and DC still sort of control the comic universe and market. They kind of are the big guys. And it just, you don't hear enough about third-party publishers. The dark horses of the world and the images of the world. Well, I would say those things are out there and still kicking and doing just fine. There's plenty of like independent comics, so go get them.
Oh yeah.
It's not a big deal. You don't hear about them and you don't see movies all the time. But you see,
we live in a small town.
Yeah, but you see things like Hellboy, and you get Hellboy movies, and you get, you know, people don't know this, but Men in Black. Some people don't, but Men in Black was a dark horse comic. Long time ago, the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles started as an independent comic back in the day. I mean, there's tons of examples like that.
If you go to comichole.com, which is a Brian Welch thing.
Oh, yeah. Comic Hole.
For you by now.
Yeah.
He's got a ton of different types of comics out there.
Yeah.
Because I know if you live in a small town like I do, the best I really can do is going to be either Marvel or DC at my local bookstore.
Yeah.
But
that's true.
The internet opens up so many more things.
Yeah, we went to, this is really weird, the comic book shop I was getting the Dark Tower series from, which is really good, and I recommend it to everybody. And Marvel's doing it. It's a limited 7-book series. But anyway, I'm hanging out at this comic book store, and I'm telling you this weirdest thing. They have two windows out in front, and they're kind of extended windows that kind of hang over a little bit. The right one was fine, had like, you know, was just normal. The one on the left was covered in pigeon turds. Covered in pigeon poo. Now, the guy that just emailed me today saying too many poo stories, freaking hold your tongue. I'm not telling a poo story. I'm just saying this thing was covered in bird crap, and I don't understand why. It was the weirdest thing. And the only thing I can think of is that window was displaying a bunch of Archie comics. It's the only thing I can think of.
Oh, come on.
I'm serious. I am not kidding you, dude. I have a picture of it to prove it somewhere on my camera.
I love Mr. Weatherby.
Yeah, good
That's
times.
Funny.
You like the reimagining?
You know what's really cool?
What's that?
What's really, really cool?
What's cool?
That apparently nobody cares what my opinion
no,
is.
No, you're next,
nobody
dude. No, you're next.
What
you're next.
Reading, but what I think about comics. You know what? Thank you, Scott.
No, you're next, dude.
Thank you a lot.
What's your opinion, and who do you like? And
my real
you
question
anything?
Is, if I hadn't said anything, would you just...
Yeah, no, you were
on,
next, dude.
You
were next.
We've done this several times. This is not the first time you did
No,
this.
You were next. You were next, I swear.
Oh, were you being pouty?
I am being pouty. I wasn't. I wasn't.
He's still mad about
our
pre-show argument.
Yeah.
Oh, no, but I'm
I
mad at you.
I wasn't saying anything. I think he was being pouty.
No, I was just like waiting. I was here waiting, like, is he going to ask?
Yeah, of course he is. Of course
he is.
Is
he going to ask? No, you've done this several times.
I've never done this. So go ahead. Tell us your comic book loves and hates.
And then you wonder why I ask you if you feel some complex.
So tell us. Now we're ready.
Actually, Scott, I don't want to speak to you. No, really.
Don't be like that. Come on. Stop.
Come on. Come to bed.
come to bed. Come on. Don't be like that.
No, actually, I guess I'm very much a comic book snob. I used to read a lot of, you know, the mainstream comics, whatever I could get my hands on, especially because it's very difficult to get here. So I would, every single time I would go to the U.S., I'd just stock up on comics and stuff like that. And eventually, I came to the whole European comic book thing, and I stayed there. I mostly read European comics or manga, and I really like it there.
You don't like the American
stuff? Mostly.
No,
I love American stuff. I love American stuff. It's just that, I don't know if you read any European comics or if you know any European
Union Jack, baby, Union
authors.
Jack. Oh yeah.
I especially like Mobius, Enki Bilal. Mm-hmm. They got like this real nice work where every single thing that you look at is sort of like a work of art. So I really like reading those two, Mobius and Enki Bilal. I really like manga, everybody knows, you know, Masamune Shiro. Let's see, what else do I like? Wait a minute, how can I forget the guy from Akira's name? Katsuhiro Otomo.
That guy, yeah.
I really like his work.
Yeah.
And I really, I mean, not just because I enjoy the different arts or anything, but I also enjoy a lot the way the stories are told, and I also enjoy it from a point of view of an actually very interesting discussion that started in your comments section in your site about how Europeans and how Asians and how Americans have a very different approach to being a hero.
Yeah.
So I really like the style of what a hero is in most manga, and I'm not so much into the whole superhero thing from American comics. If you look at Japanese comics, most of their heroes are people that have worked very hard. You know, these are people that have trained, they've worked very hard their whole lives, and they become what they are through very hard work.
Sounds like Batman.
If you look at American comics,
like Hero.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
If you look at American comics,
yes,
most of the American superheroes are heroes either by chance or by whatever reason, but they didn't exactly work hard their whole lives to become heroes. I mean, just look at most of them. Most of them didn't work to be what they are.
Yeah.
And it's very interesting if you look at it as different ways of seeing what each culture values in people. So I really prefer the whole Asian approach to being a superhero. This isn't, of course, to say that all Asian comics have this approach. And of course, because I know we're going to get messages about this, this is not to say that there are no American heroes that didn't work hard to become what they are. I'm sure all of you are
Batman.
Thinking about examples like
Daredevil
Batman
and
stuff,
and,
right?
Yeah, there's plenty of those. Plenty of those in American
Daredevil, comics. No. Daredevil is not a good example. Daredevil didn't get his powers through hard work.
No, but he had
his powers because of what happened to him.
But he had to hone it, man. He has
a toxic spill.
Yeah, he's blind. He's got to them skills.
Yeah, but that's exactly what I mean. I mean, if you look at many Asian heroes, these are people that, you know, they've been trained and suffered since they were little kids to become what they are. You know, the whole ninja thing and all that kind of stuff going on.
Yeah.
And then you get heroes like, I don't know, maybe Spider-Man, which I like. I like Spider-Man a lot, but he got bit by a spider. He just got lucky.
Yeah.
So it is a very interesting way of reading each culture. Now, again, I repeat, and please, people, understand, I know there's a lot of American heroes that have worked very hard to
sure.
be what they are.
Sure.
But a lot of them, and the mainstream thing is either luck, chance, accident, experiment, whatever.
Most of our
heroes
are about, not necessarily, it's what you do when you're given an opportunity. That's always how they explain.
Oh, no, I'm not saying American heroes are not worth it. I mean, because then what you get in most American stories is exactly that. I mean, people struggling with what they're going to do.
With power, which is basically a reflection of what America is, we have, we're a world power, and we have to use that.
Wow, I suddenly like you again, Brian.
Yeah, that's kind of how we have to look at our heroes.
Yeah, I like that.
Yeah,
that's
so,
actually
so
good.
You normally don't get that struggle in manga because these are people that have dealt with what they are their whole lives. I mean, they've worked very hard for this.
Yeah.
So they don't have to deal with, oh, I suddenly got powers. What am I going to do with it?
Yeah, plus the manga
This
manga
reminds me, actually, of a very old comic. I don't know if you remember it. It was called Major Bummer.
No.
None of you read it?
No.
I didn't even follow it. I read about it. It was a comic about this guy that he's a total slacker. He's a total loser. All he does is sit on his rump all day and watch TV and stuff. And he suddenly gets superpowers from some sort of alien entity, and he decides that, I mean, all of a sudden he's like these invulnerable, super strength kind of thing. But he's still a slacker. He doesn't do anything. He still sits on his ass all day watching television.
Yeah.
I remember reading what that comic was about, and I said, you know, that's an interesting approach to it.
Yeah. Well, let me say this. I remember in Japan, here's my problem with Japan. They have, for every two or three novels they have about hard work and pulling yourself up by your ninja straps and all that, there's five or ten others named Rape Man and whatever.
Did you say Rape Man?
Yeah, there's.
That's what he said.
I saw a documentary on TV once where the guy, an executive at Nissan, is on the local transit, like some bus or something, on his way to the office, reading a comic book called Rape Man, where this guy just ran around raping people. So all I'm saying is, yeah.
But that actually has a whole different name even, Scott. That's called hentai. And
that's very popular in prisons, I understand.
Yeah, as I understand.
That's only what I hear, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, good
I
for
was
them.
Told.
Good for them. One last bit I want to mention here before we get to our crappy movie. Thor Whedon. Anyway. He says the following: the best comics out right now, if you're going to buy American comics, Fables, Astonishing X-Men, Jack of Fables, Powers, Batman, the Hush Stan Lee stuff is awesome, he says, Wolverine, Why the Last Man Standing, Punisher. He believes personally he will be the next Captain America. I know there's been a lot of talk about that. I don't see it. Gen 13, The Ultimates, and The Ultimates line, which is Spider-Man, X-Men, Fantastic Four. So that's what he's recommending currently. We'd love to hear some of the things you guys suggest, so call those in and let us know. We may play them on next week's show.
And don't forget Len's superhero comic, Captain Moist.
Captain Moist.
The Adventures of a Wrestling Superhero.
I was going to play the Spider-Man trailer after I edited it down and talk about it, but we're out of time, so I'm going to put that at the end of the show. But I will do this.
It's time for Extra Life Radio's Crappy Movie of the Week.
Scott Fletcher is the man, that's true. This particular Crappy Movie of the Week is brought to you by Scott Fletcher. I'll just give him credit.
Nice.
Why not? He's usually in our chat room, but I understand he's under the weather, so I feel bad about that.
Oh.
Yeah, poor guy.
What's that? Under the weather?
You sound a little too concerned, man.
Aww.
He's not going to get to come over tonight.
You know what it is? It's the sympathetic pain from the pregnancy.
That's right.
Oh, the mothering thing now. It's all right.
That's excellent. Just rub your feet. It'll be fine.
Well, you'd think after six of them, you'd kind of be used to it, huh?
All right,
we're not even going to the hospital this time.
That's right. Screw the hospital. Yeah.
Honey, I'm having the baby. So have it already.
Get in the tub. Come on.
All right, here's our crappy movie. It is called Jacker 2, Descent to Hell.
Okay. So wait a minute. Am I allowed to comment and help?
No, you are not allowed to comment on
that's
that.
That's a double feature with a Rape Man.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Jacker 2? Okay.
Yeah, there
okay.
was a Jacker 1. But...
Yeah. Jack, as if Jacker 1 wasn't enough.
Yeah, they had to do them.
Here's Jacker 2.
So here's Jacker 2. Here's your synopsis. This sounds like good times. Mike Rivers, the carjacker from the first movie, has survived the fall he took from the bridge and is now looking to get even.
You thought he was dead.
He sets up a cop. He sets up a cop to accidentally shoot two other officers, including the one who threw him off the bridge, using the body in one of the dead cops. He gets to work on getting revenge against James, who is getting out of the hospital. Will James and the police be able to catch the crazed carjacker and bring him to justice? Boy, that sounds like total trash.
I can't wait.
But these sound files, I have to apologize, they're a little hard to hear, but they were so worth it, I just had to do this movie. This one deals with capturing the jacker. Obsidian just hold your tongue.
His mom caught him in the bathroom.
So here it is. Clip number one.
What are you doing, Tommy?
Off the bench. Aren't you dead?
James, it's all part of the plan to capture the Jacker.
I like it. It's all part of the time. It's all part of the plan. It's all part of the plan. It's all good times.
This.
Here's one we'll title Not Me, and it's excellent as well. Here it is.
The case is closed. Jackson was the carjacker. He raped and killed his own sister.
No, no! That's a lie! It was that guy, Mike Rivers!
Yeah, that's awesome.
I would never do that to my sister!
I like
plus,
my sister.
He was jacking! Have you seen him, Jack? Dude. Holy crap!
He's taking cars. I think he literally, the guy just runs around taking cars, and that's what he uses for his powers.
Yeah,
for
he takes cars and he jacks in them.
Yeah, there you go. Gosh dang it. It's worse than a poop story. All right, responsible. What is this? Oh, this is about responsibility.
He's pure evil. He's a heartless son of a bitch, and I think that he's responsible for Detective Jackson's and Ben's death.
Okay.
Wow.
He can read good.
That some bitch is he's saying the lines there, isn't he?
What's going on, man? I don't understand. Anyway, it sounds like
I want more jacking. That's all I need is more jacking.
It sounds, of course, like
an
excellent
film.
They
probably had it on the poster, Jacker 2, now with 75% more jack.
Ah! Oh my gosh, I had to mute Obsidian before he said something real nasty. But we have to go anyway. This is like one of the longest shows in the history of the world, folks. So we must bring it to a close. We're at 1 hour and 4 minutes, and we still have other stuff to tack on. But it's been a fine show, and we kind of stayed on topic a little bit, sort of. As usual, if you want to be part of the show, the best thing to do is go to myextralife.com, check out the comic, hang out on the blog, join the forums, whatever you want to do. That's a great place to start. But you can also email us. That email is extraliferadio@gmail.com. You can also call us on the crap line. That number is 206-203-CRAP. That's crap. Use it now, use it again, use it often, and we can't wait to hear from you. Next week, we have another special guest. No, it is not Len, but we already have him lined up. And he would have been actually great for this show, too, because he's kind of a comic fan. We'll bring him on. He's a voice from the past, someone we have not had on since, sheesh, probably show 22 or something. It's been a very long time, but we're looking forward to that. So everyone have a great week, won't you? And we'll see you guys next week on show number 131.
Previously on Extra Life Radio.
Today, full of energy. Jumping. Today, full of energy. Searching for coins.
Before we go too far, before we go any further, before I freaking sound like a dumbass.
This place is a primitive, bombed-out Hulk.
In the middle of Fallujah, fighting off the Iraqi insurgency. Nothing wrong with Mexico. Lots of guys to shoot. It's all good. I'm everybody's punching bag.
Communicate to the other side and tell them,
Galima, Chuck D. Date, Galima.
Oh, dude, that sucks. Dukin, which is what I feel like I need to do after the show. If you only do it one time a year, you're going to give yourself the squirts for 3 weeks.
Dolan.
That's funny, dude. You have to admit, if they can make a turtleneck big enough to cover his freaking waddle.
You got to go down there and you got to soothe the teat before you can get milk out of it.
Yeah, we want to see Zeus's jockstrap. A man with one hand, one eye, and one leg walks into a pawn shop in nothing but a thong and a pair of maracas. Shigeru Miyamoto. Shigeru Miyamoto.
But he created the atmosphere, man.
Brian is almost a sexual experience for me.
Listen here, you ever lose your car keys?
Hi, everyone. This is Mark with your 3-minute movie review. This week, Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles.
There's a legendary group of warriors that travels under the cover of darkness and fights for all those in need. But they have never been needed more than right now.
Dude! Oh.
TMNT surprised many by taking over $24 million in its first weekend and taking the top spot from incumbent 300. It's surprising that the Turtles made such a comeback in pop culture. They first emerged in 1984 as a parody to the X-Men and Frank Miller's Ronin, but through merchandising, licensing, and cartoons, they stormed into American pop culture in the early 1990s. Like most such items, they quickly sank back into obscurity after the fun wore off, but the resurgence of the animated show on TV has brought back interest in the group. I can't say that I was ever a huge Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle fan back when they first became popular in the 80s. Being in my late teens, I thought they were fun, but didn't think much of it. I had fun watching the Saturday morning cartoon at times and everything, and saw one of the movies, but that was about it. Therefore, I had no real expectations of the movie other than I hoped the animation would be pretty cool. I took my 4-year-old son along with me to see how it stacked up to the kid crowd. My son is your typical roughhousing boy, so I thought it would be right up his alley. The storyline is about what you would expect. You could see the same storyline played out in a Saturday morning TV show. There's tension and infighting between Raphael and Leonardo on who is the leader of the group. They, of course, have to resolve their own internal issues before they can save the world from a group of 13 monsters and stone-clad immortal warriors. Really, that's the plot. That being said, though, it was an interesting movie. I liked following the storyline. The animation was what really grabbed me. It had a very similar feel to The Incredibles. In fact, the main bad guy is almost a facial ripoff of Bob Parr. Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles took it a step further and added some detailed skin texture, though, that I thought looked really, really good. The overall animation style was really well done. It had a graphic novel feel to it at many times, which is hard to replicate in 3D animation. And I would have to say that the character movement was the best I've seen in any movie. The way the characters ran, walked, fought, and jumped was amazingly good. When the story itself got a little boring for a grown-up, watching the animation was a great diversion, and I give the animation 4 stars. From a 4-year-old's perspective, my son spent the entire weekend jumping around with 2 swords pretending he was Leonardo. He sat riveted throughout the entire movie and couldn't talk about it enough afterwards. He had a blast. There's nothing else more to say about the show. If you want a fun, entertaining movie and don't mind a Saturday mornings type script, this would be a good one to see. I had a blast watching the animation, and my son was completely engrossed in the show. I give it 3 out of 5 stars. That's it for this week's 3-minute movie review. See you next week.
Hey, Scott. This is Cayman. I'm in good old Richmond, Virginia. Been listening for a while, catching up on all the stuff. Nice work. Anyway, I got a nice little surprise on the radio this morning, listening to some local radio, and they're talking about Simpsons movie coming out. I don't know when it's supposed to come out, but to coincide with the movie release, 7-Eleven has decided to rebrand and refront some of their stores to be a Quickie Mart. I think this is a fantastic idea. All right, good season, anyone? Goodbye.
Hey, Scott. I was going back through the archives again and ran across show 121, where you mentioned that you somehow managed to get an X-Acto knife stuck in your palm. Now, I normally don't get my kicks off listening to other people's pain stories, but I would like to know how this happens, and I'm sure the fans would like to know how it happened, too. Anyway, hope this makes it on the show, and bye.
Hi, this is Jose from Wisconsin. I'm just calling. I have a Ask-O question. Have you got your Wii yet? We haven't heard from you. Thank you.
Hey, Scott, Andrew, and Randy. This is Nolan from the Wife Agro Podcast and the Scarlet Crusade server, or whatever. Anyways, my husband got me addicted to your show, like many other things, and I'm extremely grateful. I just wanted to let you know that Scott Kurtz and Justin were freaking right. You guys keep up the good work. It's a great show. I look forward to it every week. Thanks.
Hi there, ELR crew, this is Carlos from NonsenseComics.com. I'm here to talk about one of my favorite sagas of all time. That was Marvel 2099. It began with 2 comic books, Spider-Man 2099 and X-Men 2099. Then it grew, adapting more Marvel characters like the Ghost Rider, the Hulk, boy was this guy ugly, the Punisher, and some of the same characters from the present got themselves invited to the party, like Doom, waking up from a long, long sleep, and in an awesome twist, he became the president of the US. The Fantastic Four being transported to the future, and Captain America being found once again frozen and used as a puppet with drugs addiction and stuff to overthrow Doom. Since the saga had an ending planned, the characters would suffer the damnest, coolest changes ever. Well, I don't want to spoil anyone, so if you can find some copies of this great collection, give it a look. You won't be disappointed. And while you wait, you can go and search for Marvel 2099 on Wikipedia. You guys keep the good work.
See ya. Extra Life Radio. If you need to stop the podcast now, please do so and fast forward 2 minutes.